My name's Erin. I had a miscarriage last year at around between 7 and 8 weeks. And we had been trying for 2 years. We had had a bit of fertility treatment. Sadly, that ended in loss. And I was advised to kind of give it a few months, take Letrozole, and start again after a period, whatever. But because of my age, and I don't know how I was feeling at the time, I just was very worried that it was going to take another 2 years and it was going to be the same again, like just the month after month after month. And So I kind of went against slightly advice and I just said, we're going to try again straight away. I would maybe not advise it because I just didn't think it would happen again so quickly. But so I did, I mean, I, you know, ovulated 2 weeks after, pretty much 2 weeks after the miscarriage. They had told me in the hospital to check my HCC levels. So I did it 4 weeks afterwards and there was a faint pink line. And at first I was like, there's still levels in my system. It was actually quite upsetting to see because I just thought, well, it's not recognizing it's gone yet. So I said, well, I'll monitor it for the next week. The next day I took another one and it was darker pink. That was really quite confusing. And then the next day it was darker again. And, you know, I was showing my husband and I was saying, you know, look, it's getting darker. And he was like, well, let's not get excited. It was so different. It was just like almost disbelief, but not really. I just thought, I don't know what my body's doing. So I called the GP and got a blood test. The days that followed, it just got darker and darker and darker. 1 to 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. I couldn't feel anything. Neither of us could, because we were just so excited and like cried and, you know, hugged each other. You know, it was such a lovely evening the first time, but this time, one of the mornings, I woke up, there was quite a bit of red blood and I just started crying. And I was spotting then for a while. So when we got back to the UK, I went to the early pregnancy unit and that first scan, I was just a mess. I saw the blob on the, it was only 5 weeks obviously, so it was just a little blob on the screen. And my husband actually, until that point, didn't believe it. I didn't feel happy at all. I didn't feel joy. I didn't feel relief. I just felt absolutely terrified. And then she told me to come back in 2 weeks. And again, that scan was very similar. It was just like crying. And then I hadn't, because I had fertility treatment, I had another one at 9 weeks. So I'd had a, I was lucky enough, I got a lot. And but every single time I went in there, just hearing the heartbeat, it just took a long time. I think I cried nearly every day for the first 12 weeks. I think until the 12-week scan, I think that's when I finally stopped crying every day. You don't feel happy. You don't feel like, oh, great, this is another go. It's I can't go through that again. It's everything you want. But then also you're just like, I can't. It's very conflicting.
Especially if you've taken a long time to conceive. You don't want to wait anymore. You want to get straight back, you know. And even from the very start, you've got these kind of conflict. I don't think it's said enough what a brave, courageous thing it is and the strength that it takes to try to conceive and to be pregnant after a loss. You have to face the fear of something going so wrong again and to kind of keep going anyway and try and get through it.
Yeah, I was still going through a lot of trauma from what happened that night and how it all played out. So I think, you know, dealing with that as well, and obviously a new baby is not a replacement for the one I lost. So it was trying to get my head around that, still grieving, but also then still having a new baby to kind of keep myself healthy for and look after. And because you just don't want to feel like you're forgetting it. And it's a bit, it's hard.
Yeah, a lot to work your head through and around.
Thor,
would you like to tell us a bit more about your experience?
Yeah. So it's interesting, actually, because my experience is, in terms of situation, is quite different to yours, Erin, but so many of the same feelings are exactly the same. So we actually spent a long time, my partner and I, deciding that we probably wouldn't have kids because I have lupus and Sjögren's syndrome, both of which can cause, you know, complications. There are risks and things like that, coupled with thinking that, you know, maybe I wasn't well enough to kind of have kids and, you know, in terms of pregnancy and looking after them. And then we kind of made the decision that, you know, actually we researched it with a lot of support and everything, we could do this. And I got pregnant super quickly and actually went on to have 4 miscarriages and every time got pregnant super quickly. And it's one of those things that I think you don't expect it to happen quickly because you do sort of think, you know, oh, it won't, you know, it won't happen the first time. It went, and every time it happened super quickly. And all of my losses were between 5 and 10 weeks. So they were all before the, you know, the 12-week period. Mm-hmm. But exactly as you say, that feeling of just not being able to allow myself to get excited. And I had the exact same thing of that, you know I should wait before we try again. But part of you is just like, but how long do I wait? Yeah, you're so conscious of time. Mm-hmm. I also had, I think my third or fourth loss, I was still getting a positive pregnancy test for about 9 weeks after the miscarriage. And that was so hard, like having to test, because that's what I've been told to do, to test to, you know, to make sure my HCG levels went down and then we could try again. And to see like it coming up for 9 weeks to say I was still pregnant when I wasn't was so, so hard. But it also then, yeah, made it very difficult in those first few weeks of the fifth pregnancy, which, you know, I went on to have my daughter. But just that feeling of don't get too excited, like, you know, it probably, you know, the same thing will happen. Because logically for me, I found that I was like, well, if the previous four didn't stick, why is the fifth one gonna stick? You know, I didn't really do anything that different. So yeah, the logic side in your brain goes, well, it's not going to happen. Why it didn't happen the previous four times, so why would this one happen?
And if you almost have to try and kind of rationalize stuff in some way, don't you? Because yes, you have like so much uncertainty and so little control that your brain is basically, yeah, desperately trying to
find pulling on to anything. Yeah.
Or, you know.
And I had this, I think this, I found that because obviously the way the NHS works and that the fact that they won't, you know, investigate until you've had three miscarriages, I had my third miscarriage and was almost happy about it, mm-hmm, in the sense that I was like, somebody will listen now. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I mean, that's a whole separate conversation, but just to feel like that, like, it was a strange feeling. And those first few weeks, I mean, we were in lockdown when I was pregnant with my daughter. So first, mm-hmm, few weeks, I took pregnancy test after pregnancy test literally every day, and insisted it had to be the ones that, you know, tell you that, yeah, you're pregnant, you know, the digital ones that say the word pregnant, because somehow, yeah, that was a little bit more believable. I dread to think what I spent on pregnancy tests. But also it meant I couldn't have any early scans. The NHS weren't doing early scans despite my recurrent miscarriages because of lockdown, so I paid for private scans. But even then, for the very first few, I couldn't have anyone with me. Mm-hmm. So going into that first scan on my own and knowing that they might tell me I'd had a miscarriage again and I couldn't have anyone with me, that was hard. Oh. The place where I went, they were so lovely. You know, I was totally upfront about with them, with the sonographer, that, you know, I'd had four miscarriages before. So partly to kind of, I felt like, to prepare them as well, in case they kind of had to say to me, I'm really sorry, but there's no heartbeat.
Private sonographers in some ways are more experienced at, mm-hmm, supporting, you know,
yeah,
they basically are there supporting really kind of terrified women who, mm, need that. And they do that almost much. I think they have a greater awareness in some.
I found that definitely. Definitely. I found some of the sonographers I saw under the NHS were much more dismissive in terms of, well, why wouldn't everything be all right? Of course it'll be all right. Whereas found that the private sonographers were much more like, okay, we understand what's happened in the past. Let's, you know, let's see what's going on, and whatever happens, we'll deal with it. And I found it quite difficult when people were like, well, why wouldn't it be okay? You know, I'm sure everything's fine, because I sort of felt, like I said, if that, well, why would it be okay? It hasn't been okay the previous four times. Why would it be okay this time?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if kind of you've had investigations or not, but you're not really doing anything differently, then you kind
That's
of
it.
Well, you know, I'm taking this or I'm doing this, so maybe the outcome is different. But
I had all the investigations and nothing, you know, nothing came up. The only thing they discovered that couldn't be proved but that was being looked at is hyperfertility, basically, mm-hmm, in that I was literally, every egg was being fertilized and I was getting pregnant, when actually in a lot of people that egg would have been deemed like not good enough, mm-hmm, and you wouldn't have got pregnant, whereas, yeah, my body wasn't deciphering the difference and was just going, an egg, let's, yeah, make it pregnant.
Yeah. What helped you through the first 12 weeks? And I know that, you know, it's again, it's that sort of thing where people try and solve it and make you feel better when actually nothing really can. But I don't know, maybe if both of you were able to sort of talk a little bit about what, if anything, how you coped, I suppose, might be a better way of putting it.
I've been on Facebook groups and things like that since, and I mean, I don't know if I coped very well, to be honest. You know, it's one day at a time. And also not beating yourself up about a right or wrong way to feel. Mm-hmm. I think, weirdly, I was kind of lucky because I was obviously still working from home, because I didn't have to put on a show for people and pretend like everything was fine. But at the same time, though, actually maybe being in the office and maybe distracting myself might have been a better idea. I was alone and my husband's a teacher, so he was going out to work. So sitting there just Googling everything. I think one of the things it's ridiculous to say because we're all the same basically, but Googling things. I mean, the amount of things I was Googling and stats, became obsessed with stats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at this stage, you know, what's the stat for losing it? And then at this stage, and then looking at my age and like really diving deep into like sites about all that kind of stuff, just driving myself crazy. And it's not something I would have told my husband or anyone else really, because you just think, oh, I'm driving myself crazy. But I think maybe staying away from Google, you know, not beating yourself up about it and just taking like literally taking it one day at a time and just thinking, I'm pregnant today. Mm-hmm. And nothing's, you know, everything's okay as far as I know. Mm-hmm. And then deal with tomorrow.
And just allowing myself, a bit like what you said, Erin, just allowing yourself to kind of be like, I am pregnant today. Mm-hmm. Like that was massive. And I can remember, you know, I had a thing. I was texting my mom every morning and being like, still pregnant. You have to take it a day at a time. And then as kind of time went on, I was a little bit the same in terms of stats and stuff. I had the same thing of like, okay, what's my risk of miscarriage now? I've got to this time, that what's it at this time? And also I found that a bit further along, once I hit the kind of 24, 25 week mark, I was like, my baby could survive. Mm. If I had to have the baby now, it could survive with some help. Yeah. Like that was a massive milestone to reach. But I think by the time I was pregnant for the fifth time, what really helped was that I kind of learned to tell people I was pregnant if I wanted to. Mm. It's that whole stigma of you have to wait till 12 weeks because what if something happens? Mm. And actually I'd found that for the first couple of miscarriages that made it really hard because I didn't want to be like, you know, why are you off sick work? Oh, because I had a miscarriage because I was pregnant but you didn't know I was pregnant. And honestly, by the time the third, fourth, fifth pregnancies, I felt like, no, I want to tell the people that I want to be there if I do miscarry again. Just people that I knew would be there if I needed them. Yeah. And if I didn't need them, fabulous. They'd be there to celebrate me with me for the pregnancy. Yeah. That helped massively. I think that was it. By the time I did have my daughter, like some of these people had almost been on the journey with me. You know, they'd been there for almost all of it. And it was a really kind of awesome feeling actually by the end of it. But it massively helped me that I didn't spend those first few weeks thinking like, oh, if this doesn't work out, you know, I'm going to have to go through this on my own again. It meant that, yeah, I just had a few people that I could, you know, could talk to every day. And even if they didn't get it as such and that they hadn't experienced it, there was no judgment on I've just taken my fifth pregnancy test of the day and it's only 10 a.m. Like that was absolutely fine. And that really helped.
And not feeling guilty about however you feel. If you feel scared, if you're not looking forward to it, if you know, you don't have to be ecstatically happy. And also, you know, get the scans. You know, I went for a private one as well at 10 weeks. If you can afford it and you want to do it, just you know, do what you need to do, basically. Mm. And don't feel stupid for, you know, maybe if you do Google these things or you do obsess over stats, you know, don't feel bad for that, or don't feel silly. The thing is, there's these milestones, you know, you look for the 12 week and then, you know, then it's the 20 week and then it's, you know, 24, mm. like you said, you know, oh, don't think of the whole thing. Mm. Just break it down into small bits.